ready? Here we go.
Z7 Nick. Andy Lee in the studio.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of.
Acquaintance of the show.
See, friend of the show.
Well, I said friend. A lot of people, I say friend of the show. I actually said friend because that's genuine.
Yeah,
and
you
I mean
and I are friends.
We go long way
just
back.
Just comes in to pump up his stuff because it's all amazing. We want him on our show to make our show more amazing.
Oh, that's very nice.
That's another compliment.
It goes two ways sometimes. And so you've always got to have your gloves up.
I don't know where
it's going. Put them down, mate.
I know. You come in and you don't know whether he's going to swing hard at you about something you've been up to.
It's coming at the end.
It's coming at the end, yeah. And maybe he's just suckering you down. In a good mood today. Mate, the gloves go down, bang.
Now, I'm just wondering.
Yes.
Since you've been doing this new show, The Cube.
Oh, here we go. See? Hands up.
No, Nick.
Yeah.
Andy always pots me. But, you know, I don't know why he does it because.
Because you used need to be brought down to size occasionally.
I used to be a gun footballer, and then I was like no good, and he's a big superstar, and I'm trying to do the same thing in radio, and he's like, oh, look at this idiot.
Just so you're aware.
Mate, I'm puffed from doing that.
It was a non-physical game and you puffed.
No.
But the other part is no one will ever feel sorry for you no matter how much you cry.
I don't feel sorry for myself. It's my own fault. Now, is your phone work?
Okay, where's
my
this going?
Works.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw out a little taxi to Andy because, you know, I'm living down in Blairgowrie now.
And yes, yeah.
I know he's down in St. Andrews and he's got a beautiful place there and he loves his golf. So I just sent Andy a message saying...
Dear.
The first message I probably sent out for the year, I said, hey, mate, happy new year with a little blow. Like, hey, you look fun face.
Cute.
You down the peninsula, ? Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's catch up for a drink with the girls, meaning, you know, his beautiful fiance and my beautiful fiance. Yeah. And catch up with the girls if you guys are keen. P.S. and golf with a little golfer. Absolute donut.
No.
Nothing.
No, clearly, no reception in the cube, mate. When you're in the cube, it's blocked.
That's
plastic's
awesome.
Too big.
I've been sitting on that for 3.5 months. I'm like, when's he coming in?
Can I give you a bit of pain? You know what?
I'm going to defend myself. Which, look, that is appalling, and I apologise. But what you said it on January 1.
Yeah, it was 7 o'clock at night.
Where everyone's very hazy.
Yes.
Yeah, and dealing with the Happy New Year.
8 o'clock at night.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that day was when borders were starting to go down for Sydney.
Oh,
New South Wales.
Yeah. Yep.
Is he blaming the government? This is a stretch.
Hang on. How can I blame the government?
This is the next skill game. How do you talk yourself out of this?
Fault.
Our show, The Cube, was being filmed in Sydney. And on New Year's Day, after Beck and I had a really fun time till about 5 a.m. in the morning, got a call saying, hey, can you please get across the border?
Oh, so you drove after that.
That's no, we waited. We waited, packed our bags and left the very next morning. So, yeah, I would have been up for golf, but unfortunately I was fleeing for a border cross.
But that was any time.
Actually, can I bring something else to this too? Because...
I've got nothing to say.
I've got no, because, Andy,
you text me as well.
No. You always get back to my text and I appreciate that.
I don't have your number.
Here's something that you might have forgotten. Remember years ago, Andy has always given me advice when it comes to love. And I remember there was one of my relationships I was asking.
Very well, haven't I?
thanks
you're
for your
very
help.
Good. Lucky you're in the cube.
And I remember one of my relationships, I was like, I just don't know what's going on here. And Andy taught me about the blue-grey rule. And he got my phone and we went through all the text messages between me and this boyfriend at the time. And he said, way too much blue, not enough grey, which means the guy's not texting as much. I just looked at yours, Feb. Yeah. You're all blue. It's just all blue.
No, it's not.
It's pretty blue.
No, it's just because blue stands out. Hang on. One, you count Andy's.
One
to you, two. It's even. No, it's actually boxy. It's
okay.
Even.
Okay.
I think I discovered the problem. Fev, in your phone, Fev, you've got Andy saved as Andy. And I saw in Andy's phone, you're saved as Don't Answer. So I think I know what's happened.
Fifi, Fev and Nick's best picks on The Fox. Fev, you're about to set the record straight. There was an article about you in the Herald Sun on the weekend.
Interesting.
I'm going to read it to you and you want to address what he said. So the article goes like this. AFL great Brendan Favola has ended an 8-year mystery.
Right, so far.
About how his 2009 Coleman medal appeared for sale on eBay.
Yeah.
Police investigated the possible theft of Favola's coveted award for leading the league's goal kicking with 89 majors.
Bang.
And his trophies for making the 2008 and 2009 All-Australian teams. Have you just got me reading this so I can say how good you are at
And that's the rave.
Police investigated it when they appeared on the online auction website in April 2012.
Yeah.
The Coleman medal was listed by user 2012 Hodgepodge and described as the real deal. Bids quickly jumped from $600 to more than $13,000. $13,000 for a Coleman medal.
Priceless, mate.
Gee, I am surprised by that bit. while the former Carlton and Brisbane full forwards All-Australian trophies fetched offers of more than $700, despite having admitted to serious gambling problems a year earlier, Favola denied being the seller of the items in a statement to the Herald Sun at the time.
Yeah. So, the Herald Sun, I was quite surprised to read this on Sunday. Now, they obviously haven't done their research, Boxy, because I won two. So I won one back in 2006 and 2009. So the 2006 Coleman medal, so my pop had that medal. He used to look after all my stuff.
Mm.
So he had that medal. And obviously my daughter, Lenny, was born in 2006. So I was giving that to her because it was in her birth year. And when I won the 2009 Coleman medal, Lulu was born. So both years I'd won Coleman medal, so they both got them. So Lenny's got her. So what happened was I sold the 2006 one 10 years ago when I was, you know, I was in a hole, massive gambler, and I was at a mate's house after a race meet, and he's a huge Carlton supporter, and he was pretty well off, pretty rich. He's got all his memorabilia up in his room, Nick. We're at the back having a big sesh. It was about 4 a.m. And he's like, oh, I'd love one of your Colemans to put up there. And I go, do you want to buy it? And he goes, yep. So we agreed on an amount. I gave it to him. So I got the cash.
Yep.
Probably lost it the next day on the punt. Mm-hmm. But then literally 2 years ago, he called me up. He'd hit the skids, lost his business, ran out of money, had no money. And he said, can you buy it back? I said, 100%. I'm better off now. So I've brought that back. Had to help. So he helped me out.
And then I helped him out
because he's hit the skids. So I drove down, picked it up, got my medal back. But the 2009 medal, which they said was on eBay, when I moved to Brisbane in end of 2009, because I got traded to Brisbane from Carlton, all my memorabilia that I had that wasn't with Pop, because I'd won it that year. So we moved. And it was in a box, and it got stolen. It had obviously Brendan's memorabilia. It got stolen from when it got delivered, so I never got it. Had some stuff of mine.
The removalist, or something.
Yeah, well, the removalist. I don't know who stole it, but it was gone. And then I literally didn't have it, and I was like, I don't know what to do about it. So we rang the police, and they investigated it, and they found someone who put the eBay name on. But then they weren't on that destination anymore. They get the IP address and stuff. So they were gone. So that medal still to this day is gone. So I don't have it. It's been stolen. And then they've written in the article today that on Sunday that the mysterious that I lied to the police. Obviously, that's what that's standing and saying that never happened. But
there's two medals.
There's two medals. So I did sell the 2006 one, got that back, which I repurchased from a mate. And the 2009 one is in the wind, so I still don't have that. And I'd love to have it back, but I don't know who's got it.
And this was when
I was up in Brisbane, so someone must have it because it is sentimental. As in, you don't win Colemans every day of the week. And it was the birth year of Lulu, so I'd love, because Lenny's got hers up in her room, and I'd love to have the 2009 one back. But I never, ever, I don't even have an eBay account, but 13 grand at that time would have been handy.
Fev, I don't want to alarm you, but I reckon you should sell the 2006 one again, because you said you had it, then you hit the skids and you had to sell it. The bloke that bought it off you, then his business went under.
Get rid of it. It's cursed.
Get rid of the cursed.
I've had it back for 2 years. Flying.
I was going to say,
look,
you need
to get
to
work with me.
You now need to get another one for Toby. So,
well,
you've got to get
be pretty
out there.
Mate, if I went back and won a Coleman medal from I can't. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. I'd love to get that back, Boxy. So I just thought I'd clear that up because the person who wrote that has written the wrong article.
Well, good,
and I got a lot of people messaging me on Sunday saying, And I do want to make the fact that a lot of people said, oh, well done on speaking up, but I didn't speak. But, you know, gambling is a huge disease, as in it's very addictive. So if people do have trouble, make sure you call someone to help. You can get in a hold. I had a lot of people messaging me and a lot of mums of sons that are 18 or 19 of tradies that are losing all their wage on the punt. So don't be afraid to go seek someone and help, because it is a big, big, big problem. And the AFL probably need to do something about that with all their betting and all the promos that they do when sport's on, because, you know, they speak about behaviour and drinking and all that sort of stuff and drugs in sport. Gambling is by far the biggest disease, the biggest problem that mainly young males face.
Really well said, Fev. Really well said.
Fifi, Fev and Nick's best picks. 101.9 The Fox.
We did allude before the break that Fifi and Nick have had near-death experience. Now, listening to your podcast, Nick, I want you to tell Fee your story about how you ride to work, and you were Triple M Brisbane when you were telling this story, and you ride into work, but it was raining one day and you didn't ride.
Well, yeah, I was in Melbourne at the time, though, going down Mount Alexander Road. Now, it's one of my favourite bits about riding in the morning, is that a fair chunk of it, you just bang downhill. Really wakes you up. It's better than a coffee, just flying downhill in the darkness. But one more, if it rains, I won't ride my bike in, because you are on the roads the whole time.
Yes.
If it's rainy, slippery, you go through the city, you don't want to hit tram tracks.
No.
When it's wet, you're not fully awake. And one morning it was raining. I had the bike outside and it started to rain. I went, nah, I'll pop it back in and I'll drive into work. Then the next morning when it was fine, I was riding in, going down my usual route, and at the bottom of Mount Alexander Road, near the City Link, the bridge overhead, there was a big like memorial set up with flowers and everything. I get into work and I see the next day that at the exact same time, the morning before, a cyclist had been hit in the wet by a driver. And I was like, that could have
been you.
Or could it?
Well, well, I guess it would have had to be, you'd almost have to have been the exact same person to do the exact same thing they did. So, somebody did unfortunately meet a tragic end somewhere you might have been.
I would have been there.
But you wouldn't have been going
that
time. But you might have been going that quick.
Like, I would have been going faster.
To the second?
Yes.
To the minute? Probably not.
So I don't reckon you really
did. So it's not really a need. I agree.
Yeah.
Is this a far-death experience?
Well, it's not even anything, because you just weren't there.
Yeah. Like when you do your podcast, pop that right at the bottom of the list of things to talk about.
I'm going to bring it up again.
Now, Fee's got a similar story, because
mine's better than that.
Well, she's throwing eggs at you at the minute, but she's got a very similar story.
No, mine is so much better than Nick's. Okay, picture this.
Get ready for the bear.
I was about 12 and we did big box family dinners on a Friday night with my grandparents and all my cousins, and we'd go to the Panton Hill pub out in Panton Hill. And we were out there, and because we were all little kids at the time, so you'd have like the 6 or 7 o'clock dinner, and then we all left probably about 8, 8:30, because we all had to go to bed, so we all went home. But then that night, like 2 hours later, a guy went by with a gun and shot into the Panton Hill pub, and we were that table right there in the window.
Wow.
So 2 hours after we left, bang, bang, bullets through the Panton Hill pub windows.
Similar to Nick's story, though, but you weren't there.
Yeah.
But we could have been.
Yeah, so, I could have been there.
Yeah, but you both weren't.
But mine
so
had
you both didn't nearly die.
Mine had guns.
Mine had garbage.
Like, guns is so much better.
Mine had, game over.
Mine had guns. Amanda in Pakenham. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Fifi. How are you?
Yeah, really well, Amanda. Now, does your near-death experience pass the test? What happened?
So I was at work, this was a few years ago, and I was just doing some filing, and then I hear this voice say, quick, step to your right, and this metal rod came through the ceiling right next to me.
Who said you step to the right?
I just heard the voice, like this voice just said, step to the right, so I quickly stepped to the right thinking it was someone in my office, and this metal rod came through. They had some workers that were upstairs.
Do you reckon it would have killed you?
I would have gone straight through my head.
See, that's a new, that is a split second.
I don't want to talk about the person. Do you think it was someone in your head who told you, like a ghost?
Yeah, like just, yeah, there was no, because the other girls were at the front part of the desk and I was kind of just doing the filing, and yeah, I just heard this voice and just quickly, instinctively just moved when it told me to, because it was like someone was right there going, quick, step to your right.
Amanda, I'm glad you called because that is literally a near-death experience. Like she just by seconds missed it. So she had a gone, yesterday, I was standing there and then the day after the still thing fell and I was there the next day, I could have died.
Do you know what that reminds me of though? Do you remember that show Touched by an Angel where the angel would walk around and tell people to avoid death? I think Amanda's been visited by, was it Jane Seymour? Do you not remember Touched by an Angel?
I know, Angels in the Outfield.
I know this will blow your mind, but as a UFC fan, no, I never watched Touched by an Angel.
Angels in the Outfield's good.
Doesn't sound
is that the one in LA with Nicolas Cage and he flies around? He's an
City
angel.
Of Angels.
City of Angels. City of Angels. Yeah, that's a movie.
Same thing.
It's got angels in it.
No.
Isn't that how it works? LA Angels, the baseball team, is that it?
Mark in
Portland. That's the City of Angels.
Hi, Mark.
How are you?
Yeah, good, Mark. Now, this is serious stuff we're talking about, but you've got to better our stories, apparently. Were you in a need?
Definitely.
Okay, what happened?
Definitely. So when I was 12, we were playing pushbike tiggy.
Great.
And I fell off my pushbike and hit a stick into my leg, and it was 5 millimetres away from the main artery in your leg.
Oh, that's
and
nasty.
And my mum told me, just leave it, don't touch it.
So you pulled it
and
out.
Then, yeah, I pulled it out. I was lucky, but when I got to the hospital, the doctor scraped it to get rid of all the bits of wooden shit in it.
Yep.
And he brushed against the main artery, and it was like that close.
Okay, that's close.
That is close.
That's a bit closer than mine. I mean, I was 2 hours away from being
they're
shot.
I almost
rode the bike.
Well, you almost rode
a bike.
Yeah. He was at least a couple of hours. You were nowhere near Don. You weren't
hours.
There.
You weren't even there.
You just weren't there.
Yours is so much worse than mine.
You didn't nearly die at all.
Sorry, we're laughing. Mark, that was sad. You nearly died. Jess in Carrum Downs. Jess.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
We're good, Jess. Have you got a better story than ours?
Oh, well, I don't know if it is, but I was 15 when this happened. I probably would have considered it near death. We were holidaying in Phuket. Family holiday. At 7 o'clock in the morning, we were waiting to go on one of those like buggy tours, and we had a knock on the hotel room, on the door, and the hotel manager was like, "Tsunami warning! Evacuate your room. Get into the lobby." So I was like, frozen.
Yeah.
Like what? Mum, wake up! Like we gotta go. And then we ran into the lobby. We ran past the restaurant. And there were still people sitting in there eating breakfast, so I don't know if they told everyone
My head went that way and my leg went that way.
This is one of the most chilled out tsunami stories I've ever heard.
Jess has been
this is who I want to be with in an emergency. Oh, my God, guys, a bomb's gone off. We've got to get out of here. Bloody
hey, guys, do you reckon we should get out of here? So what happened,
so chilled out, Jess.
And then what happened, Jess?
We got into the lobby and they had the big TV screen on, like showing where the earthquake was, and they were just kind of waiting for a tsunami to come. In the end, it didn't, which we're all extremely grateful for.
This is a Nick story, Jess. You've hit Nick's brief.
This could have happened. Jess could have been in trouble.
This would be like me driving down the Hume. I see some flowers and thought, 3 days before someone passed away, and I drove on the same road.
It could have been me.
Could have been me.
Okay, in Jess's defence, like a metal rod might be about to fall through the hotel roof. What then happened, Jess?
After they had called it off, it was fine. Everyone was super relaxed, and we just got sent back to our rooms. But I don't think I'd ever been as scared in my entire life. I know
you sound terrified.
I'd hate to hear you scared, Jess.
Fifi, Fev, and Nick's best picks on the Fox.
It's that time of the show where we are so lucky to speak to a good friend of ours. You'll know her from these hits. Fev. Here she is, Amy Shark. Ames, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, guys. Honestly, you had the best intro for me. And you always have. I love it.
Always have, Ames.
So grand.
But it's true. But when you, I mean, because you are the artist and you come up, you've created all those incredible hits. But when you hear them like that, that must even impress
great
you.
Montage.
Well, that's why I look forward to our chats. I'm like, oh, yes, I get to hear them all.
Now, let's talk about Love Songs Ain't For Us. Oh, Amy, a couple of things that people need to know. Obviously, you and Keith performing on it together, but written by mate of yours, Ed Sheeran. I mean, talk us through the process, Amy, working with Ed Sheeran.
Well, I mean, when you look at the lineup for this song, it looks like a very hard thing to get done, but it was actually so easy. And I'm going to sound like a real idiot and drop another name here, but Russell Crowe actually was the reason, because he, you know, he was such an avid supporter of me since The Door, and then he sent my album to Ed Sheeran. And, you know, he told me, he's like, you know, I think Ed might want to set up a session, but I definitely wasn't holding my breath. I thought, oh, that's really nice of him to send it, but I wasn't just sitting by my phone waiting for Ed to call. But within like 2 days, I got an email from Ed saying, next time you're in England, let's do some songwriting. And it was honestly, I remember just like, I couldn't even speak. I was looking over at my partner and he's like, what? And I'm like, I think he's like, what? What's wrong? And I was like, I think I got an email from Ed Sheeran. So, yeah, and I mean, the rest is history.
Were you worried, Amy, at any stage Russell Crowe was going to suggest you help 30-odd foot of Grunt write a song?
I said to him, I'm like, he's got a beautiful studio on his farm. I'm like, man, you need to get in that thing. So, yeah, I don't know. Never say never. I guess I owe him one now. But, yeah, it was the best thing that anyone's ever done for me, and the fact that Ed made time for, you know, for me is still wild. Like, I still think you don't have to be doing this. But he really loves anyone who loves songwriting. And I guess that's one thing we have in common. So it was a great experience.
Ames, you speak about Russ having a studio at home. Now, you've just built a recording studio and you spoke of your hubby, Shane. How did he take that?
Oh, yeah. No, it was his idea because he's such a nerd. When we were looking at the budget, he was like, you know, we could send you to London because that's where my producer was, and we'd have to spend all this money on everything. He's like, oh, we could just like build the studio in a house, and
you go nowhere.
Yeah,
no travel.
Rocking in this room in a dungeon. but it actually was incredible. It was, you know, because I still kind of went, I went away and sort of worked with people in LA just to get out of the dungeon just for a second, and then I would come back and then, you know, everything ended up back in my studio in a real comfortable zone, I guess. And it was just awesome. It was very, very cool.
I won't ask too many questions about Keith because he just looks like the nicest man in the world. And he obviously just did a collaboration with Pink, huge song. But with Ed, now he's written the song. Did you have any pushback with him at all? Because he's up there, big star.
You know what? It's so wild. Like, I don't know how this has happened, but his manager gets along really well with Shane just because they love football and they love soccer. And so he's just been so accommodating. He always gets back to me on email. You know, the song came out so well, and Ed was so proud of the song. As I think that's why it was such a breeze. You know, the only thing that really happened was Ed ended up singing that day in the studio. And I just knew after he put out his collaborations record, there's no way he's going to be able to do this. And which was fine. That's where Keith came in. And I'm so glad that it kind of all happened like this.
When Amy, like when Keith, and Keith Urban, he's not going to put a foot wrong, but when you are doing a collab, and so you're in your studio doing your bit, Keith's in his studio doing his bit, and he sends it to you. And let's just say hypothetically, you were like, I just don't reckon he nailed that. Can you tell Keith Urban that? Or do you just go, yeah, good, great.
Rerun.
I mean, look, that's why you pick people like Ed Sheeran and Keith Urban, because you know they're so pro that those difficult conversations are going to be minimal, as to if you go with, you know, someone who isn't experienced. But this is the thing, when you work with these people who are at this level, it's like you just don't even have to worry about that. It's just always good stuff.
She gets it. She works with me.
Amy, yeah, exactly. You should be used to this.
If you collaborate with a lot of artists on songs, when it gets to your concert, if they're not there for the concert, because obviously Keith Urban may not fly across the world for half a song, is it nice during a concert just to get a bit of a drink break or whatever while they're versus playing?
Well, he's kind of just a feature. I still very much run the song. So unfortunately, I don't know if I'm going to have time to go back and have a quick quick little sip of whiskey in that song, it's gonna have to. Flask. I'm gonna have to stay on stage.
Ames, when you were doing the recording with Keith, did often on his shows when he was doing the lockdown, he was doing them live on Insta, and Nicole would come in and do a little cameo. Did she pop in at all?
Look, the question popped my mind to see if Nicole was available on the day, but you got to be respectful, and I already ask him way too many questions about Nicole because I'm a diehard fan. But no, I think she's a little busy. They're both very busy. I'm just the one here that's begging all these people to help me.
Sitting there waiting for emails.
Amy, you are way too humble. You are Amy Shark. Yes. Everything you touch, you Sharkinator. Turns to gold. We love this new single, Love Songs Ain't For Us, with Keith Urban. We can't play it enough.
I really love you guys, honestly.
Oh, we love you, Amy. Good luck with everything. We'll keep spinning it. Thanks, Ames.
Thanks, Fev.
No worries, Ames.
Fifi, Fev and Nick's best picks on The Fox.
I am joining Dancing with the Stars, the All-Stars. I'm back. They're bringing back past people who have been on the show, and I am back. I have a few weeks to learn a lot of dances, and I'm coming from, as you both know, zero fitness.
Is it coming back to you a little bit?
Look, some of the steps are. Yeah. Like, I'm going, okay, I do. I'm remembering that. But because I haven't really, I had a really tough pregnancy. Then obviously I was a new mum for the last 18 months with a baby. I haven't really got back into any form of exercise.
Yeah. So going single mum.
From naught to 100.
Yeah.
Really,
you're going to be sore, mate.
Well, my hip, and I remember I came in yesterday and I went, oh, guys, I'm in trouble, I think. And I think I'm in quite a bit of trouble. My hip is so, so sore. And Nick, you said yesterday you would bring something in for me this morning.
Yeah, I've got a foam roller.
What is that?
Very hard foam roller. A spiky foam roller.
And it's even got the army camouflage on it, which looks hard.
So it just looks like I'm floating on the ground.
Back in the old days, Boxy, when I used to train, I used to say to Dad, oh, I'm so sore. I'd say, like, my hip's sore, say for you. Yeah. You know what they used to say to me?
What?
You got another one. Toughen up.
Bang. Makes a point.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I'm
not saying that to you.
I think you are. when you said yesterday that you've got a very sore hip, neither Fev or I said, well, you should see a professional. We both said, we know what to do. We're on the radio.
Well, you also said get a Theragun.
That was enough.
Yeah.
So I got a Theragun, and my problem with this Theragun is, well,
I believe they're Therabody now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's a little bit more relaxed.
I want to get this out. God, it looks like an electric drill.
Lord, yeah, they're the best.
And Jeremy, my dance partner, he gave me this yesterday because I said, the boys said to use a Theragun on my hips. And he goes, I've got one.
Yeah. I want one in studio. They're the best.
I haven't tried this on me yet because I turn this. What? You want me to put this? This is the equivalent of an industrial drill. You want me to put that on my hip?
Yeah.
No.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Do it where it'll be easiest, Feb. Down the ice.
Stand up.
I'm not doing that on my hip because I think my hip's actually injured. That's not bad. Yeah. But don't press too hard with it.
Push. That's what you do.
Oh, okay. Well, that just feels like a light tickle.
But then if you go like
yeah, that's too much. That's too much. I don't know that there's something wrong with that. It's like, it's not. Now, what have you got there, Nick?
Well, Casey, our producer, her partner got one for Christmas. She's brought hers in. So this is good time.
So you've both. Well,
mine's bigger than yours, bro.
Okay. Yeah. That, you'll injure yourself with that. I just don't know about that. Yeah. It's like putting a power tool on what is a very sore part of your body.
Fiona?
Yes?
I used to play sport, so I got sore.
Yes.
I played touch last night.
That will make your body and your hip feel $1 million. Trust me. The pain you'll go through, and it's not that much of a pain, but you'll wake up in the morning and you'll go, wow.
Okay, I'm going to trust you. So if I wake up worse.
I'm not going to lie to you.
No. Okay, well, I'm going to do that today.
Yeah, 100%.
These are the best things. That's why I want one in here, because I ride the bike and you're all stiff. I end up rolling out on this bloody foam roller.
Way to fix that. Just drive.
Well, because because I'm shaky, this turns into a Theragun anyway. But they're great.
Okay.
Use them.
I will. God, no, it's too loud.